I wanted to pull it out to look at it. And I noticed some faces, and I apologize. I didn't mean to startle anybody, not playing head games, but I was sitting there going, huh. I wonder what would happen if we did do it tonight and I didn't tell anybody. Now, again, this is a thought I'm having here. This isn't a direction I'm going. This isn't fun. That wouldn't be funny. That wouldn't be good, sister. I'm just not going to do it. How many of us would be ready tonight to take the Lord's Supper? Well, that's a very good question to start off my point here. Take your Bibles, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. And it says, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves, know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Now, Paul is countering an attack here. And what these people he's writing to were doing is they were kind of arguing, well, who are you to be in this position? Who are you to, you know, tell us about your conversion. Tell us about your education. Let's see your credentials, right? If we kind of dial it back a little bit to verse 2, I told you before and foretell you as if I were present the second time and being absent. Now I write to them which heretofore have sinned and to all other that if I come again, I will not spare. Since ye seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. And that's where he comes in and says, examine yourselves. You know what? I sat on my porch today. And I just kind of, you sit on the porch, it's nice. Today was a beautiful day. Just go sit on the porch, get some sun, take your Bible out there. It was a good time. You know what? I could probably sit there for a half hour and tell you everything wrong all my neighbors were doing. Now, that's a horrible way to live. I'll just tell you that. That's a horrible way to live. Just sitting there looking into everybody's yard, looking into everybody's window. But you know what? In the flesh, that's kind of what we want to do. Well, your car is too loud, and you're never home, and this person over there, they definitely didn't pick up any leaves before they moved, and blah, 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 blah. I rolled up behind here at the church, and I came around, sometimes I'll park over here if I've got some stuff to do, and I came in, and there was these two kids over here, and they were playing with a golf club. Now, by playing with a golf club, I assumed that they were first starting off playing golf because there were two golf balls. But as kids sometimes do, the game changed. And they were taking the golf club and smacking it into the ground, which many of us adults have done. I come pulling around here, and they stop. And it was almost like you just stopped a woodcutter mid-shop, just... And I pull out, and I get out of the car, and I'm a dad. So I come around, I just kind of stand outside of the car. I'm just like this, just stern face looking at them. And they come out and around because I could tell they lived over here. So they come out and around and they get just close enough and I just drop my face real quick. Hey guys, how's it going? All good to see you. We weren't doing nothing. That's all right. It's good to see you kids. Hey, don't dig over there with the golf club. Just get that back before your dad kills you with it. All right, have a good... I'm over here, I'm printing stuff off. I come up, Brother Art and Gloria have come in. I go back out there and I hear them yelling by the door. So I go back out there and this time they're over by the side of the church right by my door ready to tee off. And I go, hey kids, you know what? Maybe not right there. By the way, I'm Pastor Matt. It's good to meet you. Where do you guys live? You live over there? I'm so sorry. I've been here for so long. It's easy for me to have come around, say, if you don't get out of this yard, I'm going to chase you home, and I'm going to talk to your parents. It's easy to look at what other people are doing and seeing wrong. What Paul said was this, examine yourselves. Right, that verse, why would I bother taking the toothpick out of my brother's eye when I got a whole beam sitting in mine? That's going to be a little difficult, right? It is not the point that we should never look at sin and be gentle with it. whether it's yours or somebody else's. That's not the point. The point is this, to examine yourself. Now, what's the point that he makes there in verse 5? Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Right? Let's look at that. Whether ye be in the faith. Here's my question to you. Are you a believer? Well, brother, I've been a member of this church for decades. But let's not assume anything. Are you saved? Be honest. Stop. Now, some of us, we can sit there, we can point to a moment. This is when I know the Lord saved me. Some of us were like, somewhere right in here is when I came to the truth, and I really don't. You know what? If I'm not looking for a time and a place. I'm not. Do you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you have repented of your sins and you're trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior? That's what I'm asking. I don't want to hear about the experience. I do, actually. Some of you have shared your testimonies with me, and they're beautiful things. I love hearing people's testimonies. But I'm not looking to be impressed by a testimony. Tonight, I just want to know, are you a believer? Are you in the faith? And how about this? If you are of the faith, if you are saved, are you walking by that faith? You know, I'm going to say this, and I'm a little nervous to say it, but I've had some conversations lately. I've been talking to some folks that maybe have gone or haven't been coming for a while. I've talked to some people. You know what I hear? I hear the same thing, and I'm not judging them. So if you're listening to me on the website right now, I love you. But I hear a lot of this. I've been a part of that church for decades. Oh, wow, well, when did you stop? Well, yeah, well, you know what? My whole life, I just right there at that church. I've never met you. Now, listen, people struggle right now. People are having a hard time getting out of the house. People are having a hard time getting rides here. I am not picking on that. I am talking about a heart that could skip church for 2 years in a row and be okay with it. Right? Now listen, when I am sick and when I'm sick and I don't come to church, right? It's just not smart. I sit at home and it hurts, right? For those of you that have missed church, it hurts, doesn't it? But to come in and be like, oh, well, you know, we thought about it every now and then, but it just never seemed right to do. Whew. I have a hard time sitting at home. It feels like the most alien place in the world. I feel like I'm skipping the family reunion. I feel like I'm missing out on something important. I don't want a Thomas situation, right? The whole church gets raptured at once and I get to follow on from the side. That always seemed awkward to me. Somebody joked about that. You know, one of these days the Lord's going to call us home. You better be with the rest of us. What happens? Listen, are you obeying the Lord? Are you in His house? Are you walking in the way? Because I'll tell you this, I've seen this. You could be a member of the church for 70, 80, 90 years and be as backslidden and lost, backslidden or lost, sorry, as anybody outside of the building. Right? Here's what it is. It's taking this book, applying it to your decision making, and walking with it. That's what it is. Right? I told you the story of me changing out the brakes in the Escape. Very quick, very easy job. Went super well. But the entire time I was using my father-in-law's tools. Right? Now, here's the thing. I could have used mine, but mine are mostly found from people who've moved out of their houses and left stuff behind. And instead of throwing it into the bin, I threw it into the toolbox and just kept going. Right? Listen, I'm talking about taking the Father's tools and applying it to your problem. All right, Father, here's what we're doing. How do we handle life with COVID? How do I still manage to go to a vacation or to have a Bible conference? And how do we feel comfortable doing this without me completely obliterating the church, but at the same time not obliterating the church by doing nothing? How do I do that, Father? Well, let's look. Right? There's a lot of things about wisdom and decision making, keeping a level head, being clear minded, and trusting in the Father. Listen, we have the tools. My question is, in light of what we're going to partake here in the next couple weeks, are you in obedience to the Lord? All right? Are you saved? Are you in obedience? Here's another one. Are you sharp? Now, I told you before, why am I not currently using my tool? Why do I not use my tools when I have my father-in-law's tools? Because his tools are better than mine. They are. He bought tools back when they were first making tools. Cavemen built his tools, right? He said that he had an impact driver. It was probably one of the first one they ever made. And that thing is still humming. Doesn't that just bother you? For those of you that have had tools for a while, those old tools, they live forever. You go down to Lowe's or Home Depot now, there's a reason why those things have a warranty. Right? There wasn't any warranty when you bought your first drill. Why? Because that thing's still probably going to outlive me. You know, those things last forever. A tool that is not sharp is a useless tool. It is. Could you imagine trying to chop down or clear out the branches in your backyard for the spring, and all you have is a dull axe to do that with, a dull hatchet? What a miserable thing to have to work with. Can I ask you a personal question? It's going to sound super mean, but I'm going to ask it. Are you an irritating tool to have to work with? When the Lord directs you in your life, do you resist Him? When there are things you know you're supposed to be doing, are you capable and willing to do the task? Or do you bounce off of the things that God has asked you to do, like a dull blade or an axe? Do we just kind of bounce off of it? See, what He's asking them to do, in my point number two here, is prove your own selves. Well, what do you mean I got to prove myself? Isn't it good enough that I just show up? No. No. You know, I'll tell you this. If we were to join one of the first churches that ever hit the world, we would find them far more stricter than we are on some things. Right? You know why they even began the idea of exclusion? They would even do this to the point, if somebody had disappeared during the time of the Roman persecution on the churches, when someone would disappear, they would oftentimes nullify their old baptism, say, you need to come back and get baptized again, because if you were truly of the faith, you never would have ran, you would have stayed right here. And that was under a time when they were dragging people out of their houses and beating them in the streets. Right? I think we're a little bit lighter nowadays. I really think we are. We have a necessity to prove who we are. I used to do credit checks for folks to see if we would be willing to trust them with enough credit to rent one of our homes. When you rent homes at $1,500 and you do a 14-month lease, that's a big chunk of money. You've got to be able to find some way to trust those people to be able to make those payments. With the moratoriums on evictions, that became a very important thing in the last year that I was doing the job. And I would always find this, and it always kind of threw off some of the new people. You'd get people, they'd come in, they'd be wearing a $50 polo shirt. Now, I don't know if that's expensive to you, but it's expensive to me. If I've got a $50 polo shirt, I'm doing pretty fancy, right? Most of my polo shirts came from my mommy. So I just, this nice polo. $75 cologne splashed on. Nice dress shoes on. Right? When they spoke, they were eloquent. They would talk about their credit history and their payment history, how their current landlord loves them to death. And they would fill out their application. I would take their application. I would say thank you. And I would put it on my desk. Another person would come in. They would be all haggard, all tore up looking. Didn't even bother taking a shower. But from coming off of work, they just flew right in, all stinky and smelly and covered in dirt. And I'd show them around. And they didn't seem always all that impressed. And they kind of had an attitude. And then they would just be, hey, listen, I don't know what's going on with my credit. I don't know what's going on with my rental history. Never had an apartment before. I'm going to fill this out. Let me know. I take that and I'll put it over here. And I was training somebody one time and they said, well, if we're getting credit for applications that go through, I want this one. And they took the fancy guys. And I said, go ahead. And I'll take somebody else who I thought deserved it better and I'd give him the other one. Why? Because I always had a way of telling, and it wasn't the easiest way to do it, but I always had a way of telling who was going to make it and who was not going to make it. And I'll tell you what, it had nothing to do with their clothes. That guy with the $50 polo, he failed almost every time. Why? Because he's spending all of his money on colognes and polo t-shirts. Right? that's not an attitude that I had where I walked in and I judged people. Right? It is when you overly try to impress me That's why I go, ooh. Because you know what? The guy who came in right after work, you wonder why he came in right after work? Because that's all the time he had. You wonder why he came in dirty? Because he worked hard. Right? So he'd come flying in. He goes, listen, I've never looked at it, which tells me what? He's never had a problem with it. Right? I don't really know what's going to happen. All right, well, let me give it a shot. Here you go. Now, I love that. I don't get to decide. I didn't get to decide who got in and who didn't. I let my lovely computer system take care of that. I just had a way of telling which way it was going to fall. Right? And it was always the person who worked a little too hard to convince me there wasn't a problem. Hey, child of God, have you ever tried to convince everyone around you that there was not a problem? But there was. You know what that does? That prolongs that problem. Now listen, I'm not saying that we all need to come in and scream our problems out loud and be attention hogs and, hey, look at me, stare at me, pay attention to me. No, but there's something to be said about somebody who goes over to a brother or sister in Christ and says, hey, will you pray for me? Hey, do you have any advice for me? Hey, pastor, what's some good verses for me to look at concerning this problem I have? That they would have more of a heart to fix the problem than those who are just willing to pretend that there is no problem. I'd find people who'd come in, they would talk a big game. My landlord loved me and I took the place and I made it better than it was when I was, then they handed it over to me. I was an A-plus tenant. And you reach out to their old landlord and you find out that they put a hole in every wall. They stole every appliance, and they owed them about $12,000. Oh! Well, maybe we got the wrong person. I spell the name to them. And they say, oh yeah, that's the person. Is this the last four of their phone number? Yeah? Oh. Because in their heart, they could lie it away. They could pretend it away. If I can fool you, I'll be okay. Well, I tell you what, that great computer system did not care about what they were wearing. It did not care about their name, didn't care if it was spelled, how it was spelled, it didn't care what part of the world they came from. All it cared about was the numbers. And when you put everything down to the numbers, it would say yes or it would say no. My God sees all things. He is not a respecter of persons. Listen to me. When I come up here, I prove myself to you. Now, what about the Lord? Are you supposed to prove yourself to the Lord first? That's what happens in there. Because he knows what's going to happen here by what I do in there. You following me? This is where I prove it. It doesn't matter the suit I'm wearing. It doesn't matter the color of my shirt. Some people made a remark of the color of my shirt. Sister Ruth Ann was the only one who said anything nice about my shirt, by the way. She said, we ought to sing a special together. And I said, I don't know, man. It's because I look good doesn't mean I'm going to sound good. I told her this. I go, you sing, I'll play the tape. I'll play the tape. And I can dress all good I want. I can buy the best of the shoes you can own, the best Walmart can offer. I'll put them on. I could come up here, slick my hair back, put on the cologne, put on a $100 smile, just hey. But if it's not right in there, it's not right in here. You cannot leave your home unread, unprayed, and think you're going to be able to put on the show. God's going to see that. You might be able to fool me, you might be able to fool everyone around you, but God sees the hearts. And that's what we're talking about tonight, by the way. We're talking about the hearts. Are you proving yourself? You ever hear that old phrase, the proof is in the pudding? Right? It's a modern twist to the original saying that is, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. Aren't you glad you know that? I know that now. Here's my question to you. How good are you? Hey, student of the Bible, what's your GPA? Hey, can I get the phone bill, that long-distance phone bill, between you and the Lord? Can I read some of those emails? Let me see those. Can you prove to me? How about this? For those of us that say, I serve the Lord, can I get the hourly statement on your paycheck from the Lord? Can I see the hourly, how you get your paycheck, this is how many hours you serve? Can I see that portion? Now, you say, well, brother, you're being a little forward. All right, let's dial it down a little bit. I don't need you to prove it to me. The Lord requires you to prove it to Him. You with me on this? Why? Because of what we talked about this morning. He gave it all to us. What part of your heart are you holding back? What part of your strength? What part of your mind? What part of your time are you holding back? Colossians chapter 1, verse 10 with me. I told Danielle in hushed tones. You ever talk to your spouse in hushed tones? I said, sweetheart. Actually, I think it was a text message, to be honest with you. I go, sweetheart, I have a problem. She goes, what is it? And I go, I think I need one of those big word Bibles. And you know what? That hurts me because you know what? Not only am I nothing to look at, but now I can't see anything either. So I'm sitting up here, I'm thumbing through my Bible going, Colossians chapter 1 verse 10 says this, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 12. See if you guys can beat me to that one. That ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. What you do matters. The heart you have while you do it matters. Right? How do I put this? You ever see those pictures maybe on the internet where someone's having a Bible study? You know how they're having a Bible study? They got the coffee out. The sun's just in the right position. They've got their markers and things, and it looks like, having a Bible study. I'm like, well, how good is that Bible study? If you got so bored, you needed to get your camera out. I can show you my religion. I can show you my prayer time, my devotion time. I could pull my phone out. I actually have that up here. Look, this is how much time I've served the Lord. Take a picture of me outside somebody's door. Hey, I'm out doing visits today. Look at me, look at me, look at me. That's not the right heart. It's not. You know what? Some of the best people, some of the most godly people I know, they don't brag about that stuff. Danielle kind of hit me with this bomb. We were talking about Sister Hall this morning. She goes, can you believe she read her Bible through four times a year? Four times a year. Now listen, my brain going four times a year, useless. Her brain, she probably could have done one more and still been all right. She never talked about that. She would talk about how important Bible reading is to you. She would talk about how much she needed the Bible to get through every day. But she never talked about the number. You want to know why? Because that number doesn't matter. Well, I do this and I do that and this pastor does it. No! Are you serving with the right heart? I don't care who sees it other than God. Because that's who I'm answering to. Right? When I get down on my knees, that's who I'm talking to. When I perform anything in ministry, I am doing it for the Lord. I am proving. And listen, we have to understand this, that God in His expectations still, has punishments for those that do it wrong. Ananias and Sapphira. They lied about what they were doing. And we see in the end, it cost them their lives. Cost them their lives to have lied for what they had done. They were faking religion for the attention. Folks, we cannot fake religion for attention. it must be that we have an earnest and real relationship. Honesty should be the utmost of importance. One of the scariest things that I find in the morning is that mirror. That mirror tells on me, brother. It tells on me every morning. Right? I was going through the store. Danielle asked me to pick some things up, so I stopped by at the store and I grabbed some things. And I think it was because of my shirt, to be honest with you. I go through and you know how there's greeters at the door? He goes, hello, 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 deep voice guy, hello. I walk by, he just stares at me. In my defense, again, it was probably the shirt. But I go, okay, all right. I come back out, he's staring at me again. And I go, he must not like the look of me. But I'll tell you what, it doesn't matter what you think about the look of me. I get that first fresh glimpse every morning when I pull open that mirror. There's the hairline getting taller. There's the beard getting whiter. I'm looking at it, I'm trimming it, and it doesn't help. The more I trim it, the worse it gets, guys. At some point, you're going to see me come in completely without it. It's getting worse. The Bible says, no man hateth his own flesh, but while I don't hate it, it's certainly not doing anything for me nowadays. We need honesty in our look at our spiritual selves. Going to the serious. We need to be spiritually honest about ourselves. Many of us were perfectly okay with saying, I am a sinner. I am not attractive. I've got this problem and that problem. We're okay with the superficial things, but we do not take that mirror of God's word and put it to our lives and say, this is where I'm different. If I was building anything, if I was building a deck, and I found out that I was a quarter inch off over here, what's my response? Do I change the rest of the project to fit that quarter of an inch? I would say not, right? You go back, you repair where you were off, and then you build properly from there. Right? Right. Spiritually, it's the same concept. All right, listen. I've got my Bible reading down pat. I pray on a regular basis, but I've got trouble with my anger. I've got problems with anxiety. I've got problems with fear and doubt. I've got problems with the way I drive. I've got problems with the attitude. I've got problems with the way I give. Whatever that mirror reflects back to you, you don't sit there and ignore it. You grab a hold of it. You grab a hold of it. Sister Nancy mentioned to me, she goes, I see you've got those lines right here. She was being nice. She was being mean. Got those lines right here. Many of you know what those lines are for. Those are from my CPAP machine. And I'll get up in the morning, and I've tried. That's what the beard's doing. The beard's supposed to be hiding it. It's failing. I get up in the morning, and I look at that, and I go, well, that's the slapped ham version of my face I'm going to have all day. And I go out the door because I'm not like you fine ladies that can just get into the cabinet and put something on, and there you go. What I have is what's there. And you know what? Spiritually, that holds up. I cannot put good works in place of my sin. Where I need to improve, I can't hide that with a little bit of spackle and paint, which at this point is what I would need. That wouldn't be enough. What I need is to reach into that problem and do something with it. Talking to Brother Mark this morning, there's so many different things that people struggle with, but it bothers me when God has a simple solution and people look at that and go, well, yeah, but you know what? I'm good. I'm going to keep this problem. I'm going to keep this issue that I have. And I could just come forward and I could make it right. I could go talk to this brother. I could get some biblical counseling. I could get some verses from the pastor. I could do something about it, but I'd be less interesting. I'd have to do something. And I don't like those things, so I'm gonna hang on to that problem. That is not honesty with the Lord. That is living a crooked life on purpose. Now listen, I've got my bumps and my bruises, you've got yours, right? It is my responsibility to mend mine, it is your responsibility to mend yours, it is our responsibility to help each other in that endeavor, right? Not to accept sin, not to allow sin in our lives, and not to let our brothers and sisters fall into trouble because of it. All right, fine, brother, you got me. I'll take a look at my life through Scripture, see what's missing. But tell me a little bit more about how I get that set up. You need to use God's ruler. You need to use God's ruler. Now, think about this. You're in your garage. You're working on something. Maybe you're making some pots and plants. Maybe you're fixing the car, right? Now, you've got options sitting next to you, right? Something funny when you've got kids this age, their toy tools end up in your stuff somehow, which isn't as big of a problem as when your stuff ends up in their toys. But let's leave that aside. Now I reach over and I grab a plastic wrench. Is that going to help me fix my car? Brother, this is getting silly. No. If I'm building something, do I grab a plastic hammer? No, that would be a wrong thing. I think at one particular point they had a toy level and I didn't trust the thing. Right? And I don't know how they did that. Now listen, that could be, it's a bubble on a stick. It could be right for all I know, but I'm not playing with that. Give me mine. Why? Because I need a just level if I'm going to balance my life out. Right? So here's what I need. I need the Lord's ruler. This book will tell me where I'm off if I'm being honest. If I'm open to it, this book will tell me where I'm wrong. Some of us, though, we're like, all right, I read my chapters. Done. And there's no meditation, no thought, no care put into the work of it. Just done. That's a dangerous way to live. You have the tools in your hand and you're not putting them to use. You have the instructions, but you never pulled them out of the box. Ben, I'm going to tell on us for a second. I always pride myself on not using the instructions, don't you? Who uses the instructions? Ladies, I'm going to be honest. We use the instructions. I look at them when she's not around. We were putting a lamp together. We got a lamp for the living room. We were putting everything together. And she's at a point where the top wouldn't come down on it. And I said, well, sweetheart, you got to put your foot on the cord. You got to lift the whole thing up, put the bottom on, screw it on. She says, it's not working. I said, no, you just got to do that. She says, well, you come over here and you show me. Wouldn't the world be better if ladies just didn't call us out on our bluffs? So I get over there and I'm fussing with it and I'm realizing that she's right. I'm not going to tell her she's right, Sister Delberta. I'm not. I realize she's right. That's not working. I don't know if you bent down to play with the baby, like a baby needed something, but she looked away and I just go, grr! She looks back up. See, hon, I told you, that's all you had to do. We look at the instructions. You ought to look at the instructions. Listen, there's no pride in pretending you know what you're doing when you don't. Right? If I did the whole hand thing, and I say, hey, raise your hand if you think you got it all figured out, not a single hand would go up. We all know we're missing spots. And that's where we get into the Word. We say, Lord, show me where. Let me take you to God's ruler in the Word. Another one of my favorite passages, Psalm 139. The first three verses of Psalm 139 say, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. The first part of the ruler is knowing where zero is, right? Got to get that flush right up to where it goes, right? Whether I'm using a measuring tape or I've got a ruler or whatever it is I'm measuring something off with, you got to find zero. Here's ground zero for us getting our lives on track. I have to understand that God knows everything about me. He knows my sin. He knows my thoughts. He knows my attitudes and my behaviors. He knows things about me that maybe I don't even know about myself. The Bible even says that He knows the hairs on my head. That's why I make some men bald. He's cheating. I joke with that, of course, but folks, we need to know that the Lord knows who we are. You know, you can live with somebody for quite a while, Danielle knows what I like, she knows what I don't like, she knows what things bother me, right? You ever have those things that just fly right off the handle? For me, there are two things that drive me nuts. People who click their nails. Not clip, click them. You ever just kind of pop their nails? Drives me nuts. And there are other things that I do. Like I expressed to her, I said, you know what, my office, I'd love for my office to be a place of prayer. And some of the ladies went down to the office to pray because I think it's because the men keep interrupting them, but they went down there to pray. And I can't remember who it was, but they came up, well, do you want this or no? And, they answered for me. She goes, no, this is what he wants. You get to know people after a while. You do. But no one will ever know you the way the Lord does, which means you can't hide anything from them. And at the same time, there's a freedom that comes when you can't hide anything from somebody, right? If I can't hide anything from the Lord, I don't have to try. I just have to be honest. And I have to act and behave in a way that would better bring honor and glory to Him. We've got to know that. Join me for the last two verses. 23 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Once you get zero right, you got to look at the rest of everything else. Lord, is there anything wicked about me? Is there anything I need to get right? Right? Because I don't want to be that quarter of an inch that throws the whole church off. I don't want to be that quarter of an inch that's off that throws my whole family off. I want to be right in here. It is not just finding out that God knows everything about you. It is being okay with that transparency and asking the Lord to reveal to me what you find. I don't know if anybody here, you've ever taken those DNA tests and they'll tell you what part of the world your family came from. Wouldn't it be weird to do that, send it off, and never open the envelope? To go to your doctor and get tested for a disease or a cancer and you never actually answer the phone when they call to tell you the results. How scary of a thing that would be. Folks, if I know that God sees me, it is acceptable, it is commendable to go to the Lord and say, will you share with me what you find? Tell me where I'm off. See if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me right. Lead me right. Again, we live in a society that is perfectly okay with being told that we're all sinners. As a matter of fact, there are so many people out there that rejoice in their sin. That's not the problem. The problem isn't even so much for redemption. Many of us will sit here and will say, yes, the Lord forgave me. Yes, I'm glad for that forgiveness. But they never take the next step and say, Lord, keep me straight. And where I am off, redirect me. It's the getting right that's hard. I've met so many people, they've got so many different kinds of problems, and they never want to look into what those problems are. They never want to solve those problems. They never want to do anything with it. They've got sin in their lives. And I've even got some people, I say, listen, most of this will take care of itself if you kick this out of your life. Now, isn't that nice to have something so simple where 10 of your problems could be fixed if you just got rid of one thing? Right? All this stems from that. The Lord doesn't want that in your life. Get it out, and this will clear up. Oh, yeah, you know, but that's hard. I don't know if I want to. You know, it's hard. What's that song we sing? Old fashioned. My sin's an old fashioned thing. Right? Now, there are two different kinds of old fashioned. There's the old fashioned things like my salvation that do wonderful. They're going to last the test of time. There are some old-fashioned things that just don't hold up so well. My sin is that bright orange couch with the deer on it everybody had back in the 60s and in the 70s, right? Throw it out. It's doing me no good. It's probably flammable. It's probably filled with asbestos. Get it out, right? That's the bad kind of old-fashioned my sin is. We need to get that out of our lives, and that comes from applying the Word of God to our hearts and doing something different than we have always done. Paul said this, as in considering of Jesus Christ, He must increase, I must decrease. Now think about that. What areas in your life, as we prepare for the Lord's Supper, what areas in your life must you decrease? Right? If it's gluttony, you need to decrease on your eating. If it's smoking, drinking, whatever, you need to get that all the way out of your life. If it's anger, if it's bitterness, if it's whatever sin plagues your thoughts, you need to get rid of it. You understand? Less of me in that. What's the second part, the most important part? He must decrease. My time with him must increase. My love for him must increase. His involvement in my life must increase. My service to him must increase. And you'll find you've got so much in your life with him having increased. There's no room for the nonsense. Right? Well, what about me? Don't worry, you'll find yourself in putting more of him in there. Right? I got to find myself. No, you find Christ and you'll find you. Because you is a fluid concept. You is buried under your sin. You is buried underneath all your excuses. You won't know you until you're walking properly next to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll promise you that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time we can be together.